It is hour number two of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. At 1:45, where are we at in society? A reporter goes to great lengths to fool the viewing audience of her participation in a tragedy. Pretty shameful. At 1:30, we look at what you people think about the latest on college football playoff expansion and expansion of the conferences as a whole. And in mere minutes, it's our weekly chat with the great Joe Cook of Inside Texas. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
Yes, indeed. Hour number two, and it is official today. Texas and Oklahoma have notified the Big 12 they will not be renewing their grant of media rights following their expiration in 2025. Joint statement came out, released by both schools. Imagine that, a joint statement from Texas and Oklahoma on something like this. But there's strange bedfellows in this world, and while Oklahoma and Oklahoma State appear not to be in lockstep like a lot of people thought years and years ago, clearly we've all learned over the years that the Longhorns and the Aggies aren't exactly buddies in a lot of things business-wise. The Longhorns and the Sooners, when it comes to getting down to business, they seem to be in agreement in many cases, and certainly in this one, they are done with the Big 12. Now the question is, when? Let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline and talk to Joe Cook. We do it every Monday about this time. Check out InsideTexas.com for their latest on this developing story. Joe, how are you?
Doing great, guys. Thanks again for having me on.
Oh, it is always fun to talk to you, but I feel like it's going to be a little extra fun today. This one, for a lot of people, came out of nowhere last week, but sounds like Texas and Oklahoma had some things planned for a while. They were hoping that this would be the big news drop this morning, but it ends up, you know, a couple days ahead of that, getting out there. The discussion started last week. Give me your general thoughts on Texas and Oklahoma possibly heading to the SEC. What do you make of it?
I think this is great business decisions. That's what this is always going to be about. I know a lot of people may be concerned about, potential competitiveness in the conference, considering where football's been in the past, decade or so. But that's kind of a tertiary consideration at this point. This allows Texas to become a part of the solidified college football future, whatever form it takes, whether it's super conferences or anything like that. This means that Texas isn't in a reactive position, but is now being proactive and making sure that when, it's not waiting till 2025, it's being proactive about its media rights and its position in the college football world. And it's not going to wait around and let others dictate its own terms. And along with Oklahoma, they found a good partnership and found a good place to land in the SEC.
Joe, the information has obviously been flying since it came out through the Houston Chronicle last Wednesday. What's the latest you're hearing in terms of how soon Texas and Oklahoma could actually be playing conference games in the SEC?
So I think in the statement that was put out today, that was some sort of legalese. They said, what they had to say. We intend basically to stick around, but, we're gonna keep our options open. And what those options are a little unclear, but if you go to Inside Texas, we just put up a post from Scipio Text, from Paul Wadlington. And it kind of lays out a potential situation where the crumbling of the Big 12 can help Texas maybe get out of there a little bit earlier. So I recommend people go to Inside Texas, check that out. And, Scipio Text has as good a read on this situation as anybody in the market. He puts it all out there again on this piece.
Backing up only slightly here, Joe, my question for today, now that this is official Big 12-wise, have you heard anything about when the SEC could make a move? Because I guess the next thing would be maybe the SEC to have that vote of the 14 members. I guess A&M has the Board of Regents meeting today. SEC ADs met earlier this morning. Any sense for when the SEC could make this official and we could all say, yes, definitely, Texas and OU are going to be in the SEC?
Honestly, Chad, I'm not sure the answer to that question. This is something that seems to pop, and something new pops up every week. So I don't know when the SEC could actually start making that move. I'd imagine that Texas would have to kind of declare itself open a little bit more, because this only talked about media rights today, and of course that's a huge part of it. But not much was really said about membership. Of course, this is all formality, but you know, I think there has to be, you know, paperwork or stuff like that done, legalese taken care of, but I'm not exactly sure when the SEC can officially extend a invitation.
Hey, Joe, this seems like an easier transition for the Sooners than the Longhorns, because Oklahoma has been so much better at football than Texas has for the better part of the last decade. Where would you rank Texas if you were to rank the SEC teams but include Oklahoma and Texas in those rankings heading into the 2021 season? I think that could be pretty telling in terms of where Texas might find itself if it's actually starting conference play there the following year.
You know, it's kind of funny you bring that up, because when I was recording with Brad last week, he kind of did this exercise with me about, you know, if Texas was on a neutral field playing all these SEC opponents, who would be the favorite? And I think for 12 of the 14 teams, Texas was the favorite on a neutral field. And they have been, the numbers were certainly a lot higher than I expected. Now that I think that means that Texas in a Oklahoma included SEC is one of the top three schools. I don't think so, but I think a lot of people have, you know, these last 10 years in their head, just knowing that, oh, you know, Texas has been bad. It's been bad. Look, there's still a talented look. If they were SEC this upcoming season, you know, I don't think they would be competing for a conference title, but I don't think they'd be going, you know, 3-6 in the SEC. I think they'd be able to hold their own, but, you know, and I think that Vegas sees that, but, you know, it's one of those things to where it is transition, and Texas, you know, been accustomed to the week in, week out, playing, you know, teams like Auburn, Alabama, Georgia back-to-back-to-back. They're not accustomed to that quite yet. So I don't know how competitive they would be, but I still think they would be able to show and hold their own pretty well.
Wait, 12 of 14? Was this just BK going with a bit here that he had Texas favored versus those other 12 teams?
He said he found, I forget what book it was, but it was a double-digit number of teams in the SEC Texas would be favored against on a neutral field.
I have a hard time believing that. Wow. I mean, I'm not saying that it's totally off base, but Alabama, Georgia, and A&M alone are all ranked in the top 10 right now. I don't see how you couldn't have them as favorites, even on a neutral field, much less some of the other teams that show up just beyond 10. But
you broke in and out a little bit. I'm sorry if y'all asked something.
No. I did not ask anything, Joe. So speaking of not just Texas and football, but also some of the other sports, you had a pretty interesting piece over the weekend on how Texas would fit in baseball in the SEC. So how do the Longhorns fit in with the SEC landscape on the diamond?
So the point in that piece was basically, you look at Arkansas, you look at Mississippi, Alabama, South Carolina, those are four states that don't have any professional sports in them at all. And then you've got some other states where, you know, let's say Louisiana, there's no professional MLB team there. And so there's a whole region of the country that loves baseball, but outside of maybe some regional loyalty to the Braves, there's no team in town. So if you're in the middle of Mississippi and it's the spring and you like to go do something on the weekend and you're a big baseball fan, you're going to go to Starkville. You're going to go to Oxford. Arkansas, same thing. You're going to go to Fayetteville. So all these teams have athletic department cultures that care deeply about baseball. And you see that kind of in the size of the stadiums. A bunch of stadiums with over, you know, 8,000 people, 8,000 capacity are in the SEC. They care. And, of course, as we well know, Texas cares deeply about baseball. So, and they're already playing in the conference that's number two in the RPI year over year, but the SEC is the number one team RPI in the last 4 years, or the number one conference as far as RPI goes in the last 4 years. And instead of getting, you know, a Tech and TCU and Oklahoma State, where just four teams care about Big 12 and there's kind of baseball, and there's kind of a rotation of, you know, the fifth and sixth teams in the conference, pretty much half, if not more than half, the SEC cares a lot about baseball, including the three elite teams in that league already in Arkansas, Mississippi State, in Vanderbilt. So, to put it shortly, I think Texas would compete just because they have all the same, you know, program attributes of all those elite teams that compete at the highest level right now in the SEC. It would just be, as we know, as we kind of talked about with football, additional grind, you know, more competitive opponents instead of getting, you know, a Kansas or a down West Virginia. You're going to have to take on a really good team every weekend.
That's going to be a nasty baseball conference. You're right. Good grief, that's going to be incredible. Adding Texas and Oklahoma to that mix. Talking with Joe Cook, Inside Texas, at JosephCook89 on Twitter. Joe, I guess slightly on the personal side here, you're not just somebody that covers Texas. You are a fan. I'm fascinated by the culture part of this discussion because for years – I've just never known a Longhorn who felt like the SEC could ever be theirs and could ever be their conference. Give me a thought right now. I know it probably makes good business, but for you as a fan, does it make sense to you? Are you starting to, like, what's been your process the last few days of trying to think of, wait a minute, Texas in the SEC? What's your thought on it?
Yeah, I had kind of operated under these past few years thinking that just because of the similar ideological beliefs, Texas was either going to end up in the Big Ten or end up in the ACC. And I think that's because they understood that's, you know, schools were like them, big state schools. The media the options with those conferences would have been good. And Texas just never seemed to be a cultural SEC fit in my mind. And then all of a sudden, boom, them and Oklahoma are about to be heading that way. And still, I'm still struggling to kind of see the cultural fit. I think that is a little bit, you know, that's something that's going to have to grow. I don't think that's something as immediate. But with Oklahoma and Texas, you know, these are all teams that care about every single, you know, big revenue sport. And for them, you know, like I mentioned, baseball's a revenue sport, but they care about being competitive in everything. And the Big Ten, I don't think, offers that exact same mix with addition to just boatloads of cash from media rights. So the more I think about it, the more I'm more and more for it. And it speaks to Texas wanting to compete with the best. And they talk about not being timid or weak. Well, joining what is objectively the best athletic conference with the best payouts in the NCAA, that's not a sign of being timid or weak. That's being bold. And I think.
Uh-oh.
Come on, phone.
May have lost Joe.
Fight through.
Well, attempt to call Joe back here in just a second. Rod Babers just texted me the Action Network article, I guess, that ranked Texas versus the rest of the SEC in 2021.
Uh-huh.
And there are actually three teams that have the Longhorns as the underdog, I guess. And that would be the three schools that I mentioned. Alabama.
Right.
Alabama, Georgia, and Texas A&M. LSU, technically, I think in some polls, ranked higher than Texas right now. I'm not totally buying that LSU is going to be better than Texas this year, so maybe they're right about that. Texas would not be in terrible shape entering SEC competition this year. Then again, there are some uncertainties with the Longhorns, too, that I think puts that very much up in the air.
That's some interesting Vegas love for Texas. Like, are we sure Texas would be a better team right now than LSU and Florida?
I think that's
for sure.
Action Network may be placating a little bit with that article, but it's not as far-fetched as I thought it was when he said it. Now, he said 12 of 14.
I was about to say,
That number does make a difference because A&M is consensus top 10 right now. I think they would be ranked higher than the Longhorns. But some of the other schools, they aren't as obvious standouts this year in that conference as most years. Even Florida. Looks like they may be taking a step back this year because they're having to reload at quarterback, at tight end, obviously, and a number of other key positions, too.
Yeah, we'll try to get Joe back on here and finish up. And then the other thing to consider, and this is a weird irony, but if you remember back in the day when A&M was going into the SEC, there was so much talk of, well, wait a minute, they can't compete in the SEC. Look how they've been playing football lately and all this kind of stuff. And it really wasn't about just that. That's what I would tell people about this Texas team. It's not just about that. It's not just about how they've been playing football the last few years. There's so much more to it than that. All right, let's see if we got Joe back. Joe, I think we got you. You there?
Yes, sir. I got you now.
Okay. So, yeah, we were just talking about kind of the somebody sent us our Rod Babers. Rod Babers sent us the article that you guys were referencing there, the Action Network piece with Texas and everything. and I think you were in the middle of the discussion about the kind of cultural element of it for you, that you said you're still trying to work through some of the whole Texas and SEC culture thing.
Yeah, exactly. I thought that Texas was a Big Ten and ACC fit, not so much an SEC fit. But the way, you know, you'll see Chris Del Conte repeat over and over about Texas, you know, the pride in winning tradition not being entrusted to the timid or weak. And a move to the SEC is anything but timid or weak. That was my big takeaway, in that Texas knows that it's about to be taking on a risk of, you know, being in a conference that's far more competitive, but it's ready for that, and they've tried to hire and equip the athletic department and all its sports as best they can to be able to compete in any conference, but that's even more imperative in the SEC.
So deep down, as a Longhorn, do you like the idea of the game with A&M coming back? Is that a positive for you? And do you sense that with the Longhorn fans you're talking to, that that is a positive? Or is this more about the business and the SEC, and if the A&M game comes along with it, so be it?
No, I'm all for the game being back. I just hate that it's always a repetitive story that, you know, there's never really any concrete progress on it, yet it somehow makes it into the news cycle. Well, this is concrete progress on it. If they're going to be in the same conference, they're going to play. And I am all for that. I think the silliness and the pettiness on both sides has gone on to it's gone too far. And so I'm ready for that silliness and pettiness to be all thrown away, because we'll have actual on-field results to talk about instead of weird off-field metrics. I'm ready to see it come back. I've wanted to see it come back mostly because my freshman year was the first season without that game. So I never got to experience as a student.
Wow.
I kind of want to see it come back, and I feel like watching it at work would be a great, great way to see it come back.
Yeah, that would be very, very cool. That is Joe Cook. Check out Inside Texas, InsideTexas.com, as this story continues to develop, at JosephCook89 on Twitter. And he mentioned a podcast with Brad Kellner. If you haven't checked out the 1-0 podcast, definitely grab that wherever you get your podcast. Joe, we appreciate it as always, man. Have a great week.
Thank you guys so much.
Good stuff.
Good times, Joe.
Good stuff there. And, the thoughts there of Joe Cook, I feel like I'm going to be asking all kinds of Longhorn fans, Trey, because there are some Longhorn fans I know that just don't care if they play ever again. But now that this third party has stepped in, and it almost feels each side now gets to, you know, throw their hands up and say, well, we didn't do it. We didn't beg for this. Mm-hmm. They didn't beg for this. Now they'll just be kind of coming together. So I'm hoping that everybody can kind of reimagine this game. And at times it has been one team's up and one team's down. But let's see what it could look like. The idea that that game is going to be an SEC, I guess it could still be West game or whatever they do with pod systems, it still blows my mind. But I'm just glad at the idea of it coming back.
I'm still thinking about the teams that Texas would be favored against in the SEC in 2021, and in considering it all, this really is a transition year in this conference, because there are a number of perennial, maybe not powers necessarily, but the better teams in that conference that are having to reload at key positions, especially quarterback. It's year two for Lane Kiffin. It's year two for Mike Leach with Mississippi State. Mm-hmm. Florida has some question marks heading into this year. LSU, who knows what's going to happen there? Ed Orgeron trying once again to strike gold with his assistant coaches. So for a school like A&M, the opportunity is there for you guys to really grab hold of it. Even if you lose to Alabama once again, there's still a chance that you could finish this 2021 season with just a single loss, because it does seem like, in terms of talent on the roster, you are that much better than everybody else, with the exception of Georgia, of course.
Speaking of talent, I mean, like, yeah, if you're talking about who would be favored against Texas, you mentioned Bama, Georgia, A&M. Past that, I could make an argument that based on talent, that LSU or Florida game against Texas, I think could be I would hope there's no major number there one way or the other. Both those teams are going to have talent. The question is, does it come together? Another team I might bring up is Auburn, But we don't quite know what they'll be this year. But they're bringing back some people, you know.
Well, that includes the quarterback position. And that's not a common theme amongst teams that we're talking about so far heading into this season is returning experience at quarterback. It's why Oklahoma and Iowa State are ranked as high as they are right now.
Nix and that running back are both coming back for Auburn.
Yeah.
Now, it's a new coach and everything. So you have to – but Texas has a new coach and a whole new system as well.
Right.
So it would be – a wild matchup, Sarkisian against Brian Harsin. When that comes together, if it does in the conference, that'll be wild. So,
and that's the other thing with Texas, too, by the way. We have no idea what we're about to get with Steve Sarkisian on the field.
No, that's true.
We can posit. I mean, we can look at the footage from the orange-white game, but we really do not know. And that includes whichever the quarterbacks ends up under center for the very first snap.
Yeah, so I would definitely say, you know, that they need to be underdogs in three of those games, and then you can discuss whatever you think about LSU and Florida and then maybe Auburn. I could go into those discussions. But, yeah, it might be as many as that. And, again, I would tell you it's not just about the football part of it because there were a lot of people. And, I wouldn't have blamed anybody walking off that field in 2011 in College Station saying that team's going to go to the SEC and actually compete. Well, you know, a few years later, they had a top five finish and had a pretty damn good football team. Mm-hmm. And they've had a totally different – they've had, what, two coaches since then, right? Things change. That's kind of the overall theme of this whole deal. And we'll see. So this whole season, whether we like it or not, Trey, there's going to be this weird – there's always a weird thing early in the season for Texas about will that beat Oklahoma, right? You have that weird nagging feeling all through the beginning of the year. Now you're going to add an extra ingredient. Will that beat Oklahoma and will that compete in the SEC?
Right.
It's going to be a thought that we'll talk about all season long.
I'm going to be watching SEC games closer than I ever have before this year.
Oh, don't make me cry. Don't get me excited, Trey. I feel like there's a whole conversation I'm now allowed to have that I haven't been able to have in 9 years. It's crazy.
Well, I've gotten to watch him casually and be very critical of things as an outsider, but now that's no longer the case. I'm about to be part of the family.
We're going to need to be also, we'll need to do a full show at some point on how we need to be treating the discussion with Texas, but also Texas A&M, because I've been basically told for 9 years that A&M doesn't matter. You can't discuss them. Treat them like SMU. Treat them like Houston. And now I don't know what happens when it's back on the schedule for Texas.
No, those are the petulant Texas fans who want to act like A&M doesn't matter, but then obsesses over the Aggies with every other comment they put out on Twitter.
How dare you insinuate these two schools actually care about one another?
I know. Shame on me.
How dare you? Such silliness. All right, it's official. Texas and Oklahoma are going to leave the Big 12. The question now is just kind of when. We'll get you the update on that. Plus, there's a Board of Regents meeting at A&M this afternoon. Oh, to be a fly on the wall. And there was a Big 12 meeting yesterday. What do you think was said in that one? Well, we know a little bit of it. Texas and Oklahoma got the big boy treatment even on the way out. We'll talk about it on the Horn.
Shirts and Skins.
You got to have patience to listen to the blues. You got to let it develop. Luther Allison is his name. What do you got, Trey?
Wes Crochet, who listens to the show and the station, is a big music fan, made a suggestion on Twitter that we check out Luther Allison's Living in the House of Blues. And that's what this song is, and I am really enjoying what I'm hearing so far, not just with this song, but with Luther on the whole.
Yeah, good sound. Very good sound today on a Monday. It is a groundbreaking, crossroads, crazy Monday that not a lot of people thought was possible. But for about 6 months now, apparently the Longhorns and the Sooners and folks in the SEC have been discussing the possibility. They even got the presidents together to discuss it. Is it possible? There were rumblings. There were talks. But the folks in the SEC would tell you that there have been small rumblings about Oklahoma for years. Years. There's been weird discussions about OU every once in a while. It kind of percolates up and then it'll go away. And it heats up and then it goes away. But Trey, I get the sense that that has not truly happened in any meaningful way with Texas until now. And I think that also speaks to the brand of the Longhorns and the name recognition and all that stuff. Because the SEC, I bet you every time they got to that discussion, they probably ended up saying to Oklahoma some version of, I don't know if you could bring them, maybe. But I don't know if it's just you. Like, I don't know what those discussions were like. But now it's gotten to this point where Texas and OU have now officially declared what we all knew they thought, which is they're not a big fan of the Big 12. They said we're not going to continue the grant of rights past 2025. So up until then, they are required to give the Big 12 conference those second-tier media rights for football and for basketball. And obviously that sounds like a lot because it is. But, Trey, like I said earlier, if this conference destroys itself, if this ultimately brings the conference down, well, then Texas and Oklahoma are going to be free a lot sooner, pardon the pun, than they would have been, right? Because in 2025, they had to say it legally today. Their words were, the universities intend to honor their existing grant of rights agreements. However, both universities will continue to monitor, blah, 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 blah. But if this... if the remaining eight teams realize that it's not going to work moving forward and they rip it apart and head off to other places, well, then there's no conference to worry about rights to.
Yeah, and that's why, and I have to give credit to Paul Wadlington once again for saying this first on this show and then also on the Everyone Gets a Trophy podcast that they put out yesterday. That's why it's important for some of these other schools to find new homes, is because when you get to the point where more than half of the teams in the conference are ready to dissolve media rights before 2025, that's when you're no longer having to worry about battling it out in court. And that's not to say Texas and Oklahoma won't be okay if that's the route it ends up going, because I don't know when this starts, but I think it will be before 2025. 22 or 23 is my best guess right now. If everybody else or enough other teams are ready to move on as well, then it becomes very simple.
So real quick before we get back to this discussion, people have texted this in today, multiple listeners, in the discussion of where Big 12 teams might end up and who might end up going west to the Pac-12. Have you ever heard this notion that the Pac-12 doesn't want a religious school in its conference?
Huh?
I've never heard that before.
Who said that?
Multiple listeners have texted in, wait a minute, doesn't the Pac-12 hate religious schools? I'm like, wait, what? Somebody's texting in that they wouldn't want BYU and therefore wouldn't want TCU or Baylor, that they'll go after Boise and Oklahoma State and others, that they don't want religious schools in the conference. I've never heard that.
I'm trying to think of any other religious schools in the conference right now, though, and I'm coming up empty.
Because, are there private schools in the conference? Yes, but there are no religious schools in the conference, unless I'm not thinking of one. And certainly when Mike Leach was at Washington State, it had its own religion, but in a whole different way.
That's interesting. I guess I always assumed private meant religious also, but I guess that isn't the case.
Right, you can be one of those, but not necessarily both. I guess you could even be can you be a public religious school? Can that happen? I can't think of one, but
don't think so.
Not sure you could do that.
I mean, yeah. BYU is a public school, but I think technically,
oh, maybe they might be the example.
Yeah.
So we've talked about all of that, where teams may end up, and then yesterday you had the Big 12 meeting. Texas and Oklahoma were involved, and oh my God, if Texas and Oklahoma needed to feel powerful on the way out, the Big 12 gave it to them. Those eight teams actually tried to cut a deal and give them time and a half, Trey. Money and a half. We'll give you some of ours. Here, Iowa State, give me the money. Give me the money. Here, Texas, we'll give you this. Oklahoma, we'll give you Kansas State's money. Please stay. Please, 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 please stay. That happened yesterday. Texas and Oklahoma sat back, smirked, and then today they officially let them know, yeah, we're out.
Oh, it's just so pathetic. It's like that friend that you have. We've all had this friend who's getting his heart broken, and he's doing everything in his power to try and win the girl back. He's buying flowers and paying for bands to play their favorite song outside of her window and stalking her really late at night that nobody really knows about. And when that comes to light, you become a little bit fearful for her life. And then also you wonder if your friend is off his rocker now. These Big 12 schools are going through the various stages of grief. And that includes just coming up with ridiculous solutions to try and keep Texas, Oklahoma, and Oklahoma around when you just need to accept that you're going to be better off not attached at the hip with those schools anymore. And you're going to do yourself much more of a favor by putting the work into finding that new home. Mm-hmm. Kansas has already started that process. Some of these other schools, I would guess that they're having at least preliminary discussions with other conferences. They need to find that next home. It's going to happen before 2025, whatever the official PR statements say. Kansas will be out probably after this year. Iowa State may be as well. Some of these other schools need to scramble to see if the Pac-12 might be willing to handle them. West Virginia should be asking the ACC what's up with them right now. That way we can all just move on from this sooner rather than later.
So this might make sense on the text line. Somebody texted in the additional info. The Pac-12 prohibits schools that have policies that don't fully support LGBTQ rights, etc. That is what we're hearing from the Pac-12 side of things. So If that's the case, I guess I could see how maybe they wouldn't be attracted to certain schools. We'll see.
Maybe the Pac-12 won't accept any Texas schools then because of some of the transgender legislation that's been going through over the last 6 months.
That maybe it will be true. Someone else says they're a UT fan, but also a recent Baylor fan because the kids are playing sports there. Says my Bear fans, most Bear fans are saying good riddance to Texas and Oklahoma. Both brands have made the Big 12. Some Bears believe they also ruin the conference. I think the powers that be begging both to stay is part of the disconnect between them and the fans. Thanks for a great show.
There is not a school that is happier to be done with Texas than Baylor.
You're probably right about that, I would think. Now, the question is now, can they land in a Power 5?
I think even if they don't, they'll be fine with that.
You think
they're
so?
They're no longer attached at the hip with Texas.
Yeah, we'll see. One of the weird ones in the SEC.
They still blame Texas for Art Briles.
Yes, they do. You're right. I'm hearing in the SEC tray that Missouri really doesn't want to be in a conference, much less a division with Texas. Apparently, there's something from back in the Big 12 days that still upsets them. Missouri is not a fan of this idea from that perspective.
Oh, screw you, Missouri. We don't want to be attached to you either like that. We don't want to have to play your sorry asses every year. I hope you're in another division. I think it's a waste of everybody's time to have us play each other every year. We beat you like a drum, like what happened in the Big 12.
All right, Trey, so what do you think A&M does at 5 o'clock, this Board of Regents meeting? What ultimately comes out of this? Like, what would your reaction be if they do lodge some kind of formal protest? And then what would your reaction be if they ultimately decide to vote yes?
If they lodged a formal protest, my response would be that of shock. Because I think A&M realizes that their best path forward is to stop fighting this and be more accepting and buckle up and get ready to go for when Texas and Oklahoma truly enter the conference. So they're going to align themselves with the rest of the SEC. What was the other question you asked?
And then what if they vote for it? What if they vote yes?
They vote for it. That's what I expect. So it wouldn't be a surprise at all. I would only be surprised if A&M put up the resistance that we saw in the middle to end of last week, all the way until the weekend when they changed their tune.
Do you think the SEC, sort of being in the middle of all this, do you think it will allow both sides to not only say, we didn't start this game again, but also allow both sides not to have to worry about the they need us more than we need them whole deal? Do you know what I mean? Because that, to me, has always been a problem on both sides. A, you don't want to say you want to play the game because it almost speaks to need. So then whoever actually started it again, the other one would have some kind of weird dibs over them. But now it feels like this is going to be somewhat even to where both sides could say, look, we didn't do this. The SEC did this. We didn't choose it.
You're asking a valid question. Ultimately, I don't think it matters that much if we get to resume the rivalry on hopefully an annual basis. Like, I think that in the moment, some might care more than others, and there may be jokes going from one side to the other, but ultimately, nobody's going to remember that crap. We're going to remember the next game that's played or the most recent game that was played. Right now, that's the Justin Tucker game. We're about to have a ton more memories, good and bad, regardless of the side, with this rivalry going forward, hopefully starting next season.
Do you think the Justin Tucker game will always have its place?
100%.
Or do you think some of the steam's going to get taken out of that over the years? And the Chris Bennett's of the world will not be tweeting that out as much because you're going to have more football to deal with.
No, that's still an all-time moment in that series, and it will continue to be so regardless of what happens with the series going forward, assuming that they get to resume action on the field. I mean, it's up there with the Westbrook hit on McElroy and just some of the other crazy moments that have happened throughout the history of that series. What is the best moment for A&M in the rivalry? The best singular moment.
Oh, the best singular moment.
Because we hear so much about the Longhorn memories where Texas is doing something good against A&M. I don't think we hear, and maybe it's because there aren't as many, because Texas, you know, historically has dominated this rivalry. But what are some of those moments for A&M?
I mean, there was a lot of those moments in the run in the 80s. Frankly, there were some blowouts in that run, so there wasn't necessarily a moment.
No, you're right about that.
It's sort of a full game in that way.
That's the weird thing about coming to understand that Texas had such a large lead in the history of the rivalry is because my football consciousness came to be when A&M was kicking our asses year in and year out, and it was hard for me to comprehend that Texas was that much better than them in the history of the series.
Yeah, I mean, like, in one of the games, I think it ended up being a blowout. Like, the game where Marcus Buckley had the interception really early in the game of Gardner and took it back for a touchdown. That started, like, this wave in that game. But I don't remember one moment. For, like, old-school Aggies, there's a 60, it was a 68. I think they beat Texas. They ended some losing streak, and they ended up winning the Cotton Bowl that year. It was like a conference championship team, and then I think they won the Cotton Bowl, 68 or whatever. Like, I think that, if there's a moment from that game, before my time, obviously, but that's an interesting point.
The Ricky run is obviously another big one for Texas fans. I'm guessing the Bonfire game is probably one of those moments for A&M fans.
Bonfire game, and then as weird a game as it was, the Stephen McGee game, the one here in Austin, that 12-7, 13-7 ugly-ass game.
Where Colt McCoy got hurt.
The one where Colt got hurt. That game.
Yeah.
Some Aggies refer to that as the drive, because the whole game really ended up being about one drive. If one team had a drive, they were going to win. And they did. They found one drive the whole damn game.
Mm.
That was one of the ugliest versions in that rivalry. Hopefully, if they get back together, there'll be some better football overall that the whole country can wrap their arms around. All right, a lot of stuff coming in, as you could imagine, on the Specs text line. 337-3776. After 9 years apart, these two fan bases are really about to start interacting in a big-time way, and we are right in the middle of it. Up next, we'll get a little where we at in society as well. Apparently, a reporter tries to pull a fast one on their audience. Now, that's never happened. Trey will give you the details on the horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
I saw her today at the reception. Glass of wine in her hand. I know she was going to meet her connection. At her feet was this tall, footloose man. You can't always get what you wanna. I say you can't always get what you wanna. You can't always get what you wanna. But if you try sometime, you might find you can get what you need.
Look out now.
Oh, man.
Luther Allison.
Whoa.
I know what this one's called, Trey. What a cover.
Oh, boy.
Get after it.
You changed the pace there pretty quickly.
That's good stuff.
I'm going to have to give this one a deeper listen.
That's a good stuff. While I love the Stones covering stuff, there probably isn't enough people covering Stones stuff.
Interesting.
Like, I like the turnabout is fair play on that thing, too, because I think they do a good job covering, but, man, go after something like that. And talk about making it your own, giving it your own vibe. That song has a little bit of a blues feel when you sort of think about the lyrics and the way it's put together. It certainly had an acoustic vibe to it at the beginning when the Stones put it out, but then, yeah, you can do what you want with that one. That's cool.
You think Sympathy for the Devil is the most covered Stones song?
I don't know. Good question. I would think it's something older than that. More of a
Satisfaction
or Brown Sugar or Jumpin' Jack Flash or something like that. But not many people cover the Stones that much. There's not that much of
Street
it.
Street Fighting Man?
Street Fighting Man. I'd like to hear him do Street Fighting Man after that. Luther Allison is the artist we're checking out today. Thanks to, who is it that we get credit for? Is it Wes? We say Wes Crochet did that to you? Mentioned him?
Wes Crochet, yeah.
Good for him. Shout out to you, Wes. Thank you for giving us that idea.
Well, he mentioned a specific song. I actually had read about it in a book about Bobby Rush, who is another blues icon who I will be interviewing tomorrow for his new autobiography that's out now. But he had mentioned Luther Allison as the Jimi Hendrix of old school blues.
Nice. By the way, Trey, speaking of shout outs, I have a shout out coming up at 2 o'clock. I wanted to give you a preview of the shout out because I know you love them so much.
Yes.
I have a shout out to some listeners that I met over the weekend.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Listeners. Where did you meet them?
I met them at a drinking establishment.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I did. It was good. I'll tell you that story coming up at 2. Trey's got a story for you here in a second. Before we get there, it is the official day. Texas and Oklahoma tell the Big 12 they're done with the grant of rights as of 2025. We'll see if that timeline changes at all. And remember to get out there and see our guys tonight out at the Leander Beer Market, and then we'll do the Horn Top 20 stuff after that. If you want to come check it out, do that. If you can't, check out the Twitch stream at hornfm.com, or we'll do it on Twitch, and we'll do the Facebook Live once we get past 7 o'clock tonight. So we'll be talking Horn Top 20, and that cranks up on Monday with team number 20. All right, Trey, let's go. Where are we at? Here we go.
Where are we at in society today?
I'm going to say Where Are We At in Society is sponsored by a new client that I get to start to do endorsements for. That is Hop Water from Whitestone Brewery.
Is that what you're drinking right now?
Non-alcoholic. That's right. You can see it in the Twitch stream.
Nice.
Non-alcoholic. It is zero calories, zero carbs, zero sugar, gluten-free. I don't have a ton of options that I drink when I'm not drinking booze. It's up to this point, it's been water and coffee. I now have hop water to add to that equation. And even though hop is in the name, it's not bitter like an IPA. It is delicious. It's something a little bit different. And it's not bad for you either. Check it out now at a lot of HEBs around town. You can also get it from the Whitestone Brewery location on 1431 in Cedar Park. All right, Chad. It's never a good idea if you are a member of the media to fake the funk to the degree that you end up getting caught and found out as a fraud. Yeah, we do have examples of this over time. The most notable is probably, what, Brian Williams claiming that he was a part of the Black Hawk Down team.
Yeah, that he was on the helicopter or whatever it was. He was on a helicopter and he was not on that helicopter.
Yeah, he was not flying the Black Hawk Down helicopter, as we found out. He got embarrassed. I think he still has his job, though, surprisingly.
He does, yeah.
Well, we now have another example out of Germany where TV reporter Susanna Olsen has apologized after getting caught smearing mud on her clothes moments before appearing on television from a town ravaged by historic floods that hit Germany last week.
Oh, no.
Olin, 39, said she acted after feeling ashamed of reporting from the town in her clean clothes. The broadcaster RTL has suspended her for breaching its standards after the video went viral.
What? You felt bad because you were broadcasting clean in a place that had been hit by a flood?
Yes, and the cherry on top of this story as part of her broadcast was letting people know that she had been helping with aid efforts in the days before filming for RTL's Good Morning Germany
program. So had she actually been helping?
No.
Oh. So she put the mud on because she thought it would go with her I've been helping bit. But the bit was a bit, and that wasn't even real.
Yeah, so right before going on the air, she said she felt ashamed to stand in front of the camera in clean clothes, and without thinking, she smeared mud on her clothes. At that point, a video of her bending down to spread dirt on her hands and clothes was filmed by an onlooker and later posted to social media, so she got busted.
Okay, I was going to say, is it possible her camera people just don't like her? But no, the bystander got her because everybody has a camera.
The old Robert Flores bit?
Yeah, right, yeah.
Where he got screwed over by his camera guy?
Yeah, I thought it was some, and that wasn't anything.
Or an editor or producer or
something? Yeah, that was an editing thing where somebody just made a mistake, didn't get it done. I was wondering, like, did the camera people hate her enough where they're like, I'm going to let this get out. I'm going to let it get out. Do you see what she did? Yes. Did you see her dip her shoes in the mud? Yeah, I'm going to send that out. That's low, man. That is low. That is a tough moment, I guess, of in that moment you have the thought, if only you could express that out loud and have someone say, shut up, just do the, piece.
Yeah, do the piece.
Just do it.
I'm sorry if you feel a little bit embarrassed that you're wearing clean clothes, but the alternative is you faking it like you've been helping people out with this mudslide and the flooding and everything else. When that's not the case, and in this era where we're all being filmed at all times, you're bound to get busted for that.
Plus, when you show up, we assume you'll be clean. Nobody's going to get mad at you for that.
True.
That doesn't make any... That's so weird.
I need to bring one more story from SEC country to light in this segment before we hit the commercial break. We go to Arkansas for this next story, and I'm not going to be able to set it up any better than by reading the headline. This is from Fox 8, wherever the hell that is. Man with no arms accused of harassing women by asking to touch their feet. Three women have filed reports in Faulkner County near Conway, Arkansas, about a man identified as Brian Reams, who was harassing them while shopping in Conway. Police said the incidents occurred between September 2020 and June 2021 at a Walmart and a Kroger store. Quote, they were all frightened and very uncomfortable by these incidents that occurred, according to a police department spokesperson. According to police reports, Reams is accused of following the women around the stores and making inappropriate comments to them. In one report, a woman said Reams, who has neither of his arms, asked if he could massage her feet. How was he going to massage their feet?
I was just about to ask, but I thought it might not be appropriate.
Perhaps that's his angle there, is that the women look at him, think that he's harmless because he's armless, and say, well, how in the world are you going to massage my feet if you don't have any arms?
A foot, it could be a foot-on-foot massage. It could be some sort of mouth massage.
Mm.
Or he could. It could be a... could be a nub situation. I don't know how much control he has over the nubs. I have no idea.
What, he's just going to get his empty shoulder socket down there?
Not empty. I don't know what's there. If depending on what's there, could be something unique. Could be something he is able to provide that nobody else can.
I'm choosing to believe he's going to try and go cricket style with the foot massage. He's gonna go foot. He's gonna go feet on foot massage.
I'm just trying to get the mental imagery of that in my head right now, Trey. I'll just follow that up by saying you realize these are about to be your people, right? If everything keeps going the way it's going, these are your people. And when you say SEC country, that's going to be your country coming up very soon.
Maybe we need to change the Florida man stories to the SEC country stories, because there are plenty of those types of stories coming out of Arkansas, coming out of around College Station, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Florida. They're all over the place.
This is the stuff that I had to deal with back in 2012, where all of the sudden, crazy folk in Mississippi, wacky stories in Florida, and that Alabama guy did what? Became part of my college athletics family. I ended up under that umbrella too, going, oh my God, Cousin Earl is crazy. This is nuts.
That's one of those weird things also, that if you feel threatened enough by somebody who is lacking their arms, you still can't really do anything about it physically. Because what's going to end up happening if you knock this guy over and beat the crap out of him?
Then you're definitely the bad guy.
Yeah, you are assaulting somebody with a disability.
Yeah.
It's like when I had that... be careful here. When I had that transvestite... road rage me and come up and basically like get in my face and threaten me, there's nothing I could do about it. Even though they are blatantly in the wrong and they were the aggressor and I was the one that felt threatened, I couldn't throw a punch in return. What do I want to be guilty of a hate crime at that point? Even though there's no hate crime to be had.
I do think...
I didn't tell that story on this show. That story was on with the old Trey and BK show.
Wow.
So when I had to relate that story.
We may need to relive that one at some point. Now, if the guy had set up a foot massage booth and he'd sat at the booth and the sign says foot massages forever, how much money? And then underneath it says like $2 off if you can tell me how I'm going to do it. Now, that would be a good business model. That would be a good business model. If you can guess how I do it, then you get $2 off. $5 for the massage, $2 off. You can tell me how I'm going to do it.
I think he's going to go more knee than any of us realize.
At that point, I might let him massage my feet just so I can know, just so I can find out the answer.
It'd be like paying him $5 to paint you something, right?
Sure.
With his feet?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right. Exactly. I want to know where the where does the art come from, sir? The art of your massage. How does it happen? All right, there you go.
Did you just suggest that he's going to use his nubs for the massage? That was very insensitive of you.
No, it wasn't. It was realistic. Because you read the story and you said the guy has no arms. But you assumed that meant he has no arms completely and has nothing that he could use. That's not what I'm assuming. I just watched this story on ESPN about this high school kid playing basketball. He's only got one arm, but he's got part of that left arm. And he can, like, use it for a little bit of balance.
Dude, that kid is so impressive.
Unbelievable.
Now, when you hear no arms, where do you assume that things stop? Because I'm assuming right at the shoulder.
I'm assuming you have no elbow down, for sure. If you say no arm, if you say you don't have your left arm, I'm assuming, like, elbow up. You might have some of that, but elbow down, you don't have anything. You don't have a hand, wrist, the forearm, and I'm assuming you don't have an elbow joint.
How do you assume somebody in Arkansas ends up with no arms?
Razorback attack? Or noodling? What do they call that when you stick your arm into water? Noodling.
Dude didn't learn his lesson the first time. Had a catfish bite one arm off, and then he had the other one bitten off.
You're about to have a bunch of noodlers in your conference. Just get ready for that.
You're underestimating the inbreeding factor what that does to appendages.
You just get ready, man.
You don't think we're ready for the SEC, baby?
Ooh, you just get ready for those stories. They are on the way. All right, coming up, Texas and Oklahoma make it official with the Big 12. Now what happens? We'll talk about that and what could happen in 3 hours at a Board of Regents meeting in College Station. Oh, to be a fly on the wall. If you have any thoughts on it, 337-3776 is the Specs text line. Don't move. It's the Horn.